Will you bow your heads in prayer with me? Gracious and holy God, as I prepare to share the message that you have laid upon my heart this day, may the focus on time be a challenge to all of us. May the focus on time call us to a greater understanding and love for you through our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. I don't know how many of you were here, were early enough before the service to be able to see some of the sign, some of the quotes or graphics about time, and maybe you could relate to some of those as we begin to launch a series entitled The Time of Your Life, as we take a look at how God intends time, us to understand time, but also how God intends for us to use the time that we are given here on earth. Not only will we be having a sermon series, but also we will be launching now a small group series, and in your bulletins are inserts, an opportunity for you to sign up for a small group. If you've not been in one yet or currently are, this is a great opportunity to either begin anew or continue your growth in your faith. At the staff at Carmel United Methodist Church, we understand that developing and growing along our discipleship pathway is important always for all of us in all ages and stages of life, and that the only way that we grow is if we do make intentional efforts. And we also understand that one of the best ways that people grow in their faith is through small groups. As small groups spend time together studying the Word, but as small groups get together and develop friendships to challenge and hold one another accountable. So I encourage you to consider this. Also, as a part of this series, we thought it would be fun that we are going to state that Sunday, April 26th, is Bring Your Boss to Church Sunday. So we're going to challenge you, and we'll probably have a little note card for you next week to begin to invite and bring your boss to church. Not just mention that, you know, I go to church at Carmel United Methodist Church, but invite that person to come and actually sit with you, because the perspective that we look at of time that Sunday will connect with how we connect with our own work. So bring your boss to church on April 26th. We're going to look at time for all of these weeks. And how often do we pay attention or talk about or look at time? How often do we look at our smartphones or at a clock on the wall? How often do we say, oh, I'm in a time crunch, or there's never enough time, or I'm losing track of time? Or sometimes it's time is moving too fast, but at other times time feels like it moves too slow, right? Both ends. Will Christmas ever get here? Can't believe it's Christmas again. Yeah. How many of us, maybe if you know a bride that's counting the days until that wedding day and feeling that crunch? Or maybe they're expectant parents who are counting the days until that due date is to arrive. Maybe you're scheduled for surgery and you're feeling the crunch of that time because you know there are so many things that you want to get done or accomplished before that day comes. We focus on time and what we need and want to do with it in all kinds of ways. And in this series, we'll be taking a look at understanding time within the context of God's purpose for the world. And so therefore, how are we supposed to leverage our time and use our skills and gifts to the glory of God? Because sometimes I wonder if we always do live that way as we spend our time. I'm not here to say I've got it all figured out. I'm going to be here moving through this series right along with you to say, boy, I've got to figure this one out, or I need to change this one. But I think that time is something that is finite. Time is an asset that all of us have that we really need to take very seriously and perhaps pre-plan what we actually will be doing. Imagine that if you had a bank account, a bank credit account, and that every single day, just after the stroke of midnight, $86,400 were deposited in that account every single day, just after the stroke of midnight, with the stipulation that the money's yours to spend as you want within those 24 hours. And you can't carry it over. So you either use it or you lose it within that 24 hours. So start a new day, after stroke of midnight, you have $86,400 deposited in your account, and you spend it how you want during that day, and then the next day would come. And my guess would be that we would begin to certainly think, wow, what an opportunity, and can think about how we're going to spend it, maybe set priorities and say, okay, first of all, we need to get at this. We may need to, let's save this and put this money for our kids' education, then let's do this, home improvement, and this. We'd probably prioritize them the way we would spend that money. Each day, every one of us has a bank account that's called time. And so after the stroke of midnight, every single day, deposited for each one of us are 86,400 seconds. There's no carryovers. We get it for the day, and it's up to us how we can use it. You use it or you lose it. So I maybe had too much time on my hands, all right, I admit it. So if you guys came here today at roughly the 9:30 service, that means that today you have roughly 50,400 of your seconds left today. So how are you going to spend it? I was reading something actually in this series by Andy Stanley, and he mentioned that there's this site online, and it's kind of fun to check it out, so I did. It's called deathclock.com. Sounds pretty morbid. But go to deathclock.com. You have to plug in just a few things about yourself, your birth date and a few other pieces of data. Hit the button, and it will tell you, according to that those three or four pieces of data, the date that you are due to die. It's just a fun thing, because I honestly don't believe that anyone can predict. The only one who knows when we are due to die is God. But anyway, it's just a kind of a fun thing to do as we think about the time that we have here on earth, and to be reminded that, you know what, our time is running out. Our time is running out for all of us. And God knows that every day, as we face that bank of seconds that we have to live, the challenges that we have that face us, because there are many things in this world that demand of our time. There, because of all the demands and the way that we spend our time, so often we are weary. And God also knows that oftentimes, as we reflect back on the time that we spend in life, that sometimes we live with some sadness or some regrets. And that's not necessarily what God desires for us. So I want us today to take a look at a psalm in the book of Psalms of the Old Testament, Psalm 90 today. And here's the really interesting thing about this psalm. This psalm was written by Moses, the only psalm written by Moses. And therefore, it is the oldest psalm in this book. And in this psalm, what Moses is going to try to do, because he felt that the Israelites were not getting it, is first of all, he wanted to make it very clear that humanity is finite. Humanity only has so much time. We are very limited. But yet God is everlasting and forever. He wanted to make it clear that our little finite piece of the world, our little teeny story as a part of history, what God desires is us for to use that time so that it connects with the bigger story of history of God. So in this psalm, Moses pours out his heart to the Israelites, and it's in a very bleak moment of history that he pours out his heart in this psalm. Moses had been commissioned to lead the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. Moses led them across the Red Sea, and then he led them through their years of wandering through the desert. And the first time that they were to go to the Promised Land, the first thing that Moses did was he sent 12 spies to go and check out the Promised Land, because they knew there were people living there already, but he sent the spies to check out to see what kind of people they were and what kind of battle they may have as they were going to overtake the Promised Land, which God had promised to them. 12 spies go check out the land. They come back. 10 of the spies say, no way. These people are huge. They're strong. There's no way we can go up against them. No is the answer. Only 2, Caleb and Joshua, said, yes, let's follow God's command and let's go. And because of that division and such strong no, God said, my people don't yet understand the little amount of time that they have amongst the big history and the big plan and the story that I have. So back into the desert and roam until you can learn more. And so Moses was devastated that the Israelites weren't yet getting it. So he poured out his heart. To begin with Psalm 90, verse 1. Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. From the very beginning, those very first two verses, what Moses is doing right up front is to make it clear who God is and how strong and important God is, which again, the Israelites were not remembering. He began with the word Lord, and that Hebrew word there for Lord is Adonai. And Adonai is the word for God that is majestic, to remind us how majestic God is. So he begins right away, say, God is majestic. And God is always our dwelling place. God is always our protective shelter. And Moses knew that perhaps the Israelites were forgetting what it meant to be a protective shelter, because they perhaps felt that they didn't have any protective shelter as they roamed through the desert, or they didn't have a permanent home. They would pitch their tent wherever. So Moses was reminding them what a protective shelter is, and it's in God. And he's a dwelling place in all generations. God is not just for a minute piece of history, but God is in the past, in the present, in the future. He is from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. Right up front, Moses wants the Israelites and us to know that God is forever. God is forever. And God has the big story. And from here, the next verses 3, 4, 5, and 6, Moses begins to launch into a reminder to we humanity of how small we are and how we are not God. And we are not forever. But what we're given is just this little piece of time, this little piece of space. And it's up to us. We have a choice what we will do with that. So here is the reminder of how small we are. You turn us back to dust and say, turn back, you mortals. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. Within those verses, Moses uses several visuals again to remind us of how short our life is and how it leaves us just like that. He begins by saying, we are told we turn back to dust. He's referring back to Genesis 3. When he talks about the creation and how we came from dust and to dust we will return. If you attend graveside services of a funeral, you'll often hear those words, that the ashes to ashes, dust to dust you return. We're not forever. We came from dust, to dust we will return. And then he talks about our life as like a watch in the night. What that said to the Israelites is that there were often persons that were posted to be on duty at night. And a watch in the night was just 3 or 4 of those hours, just a portion of that entire night. So they understood that they were being reminded that they weren't responsible, nor were they the entire night, that their life was just a little piece, a watch in the night. And then, of course, he moves forward into the looking at grass and at flowers and reminds us how they grow, but yet they have that time to fade. You know, it doesn't matter if it's an annual or a perennial. They grow for their period of time, but eventually they fade and they go away. We hear this reminder in Scripture from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 through 8. Isaiah even reminds us, all people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. God is forever. We are not forever. God has the big story. We have the small story of our lives to be a part of that bigger story. And it's not hopeless. The psalmist in Psalm 125, I'm going to flip back that slide, see if we can get Veronica. Oh, thank you to go back there. I love this visual. And what this visual does, now this psalm is from David. He's making the same point for us. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. He wanted us to remember that, yeah, don't be afraid that our time is only short. Don't be frustrated by that, because remember that first, the hope that we have is that our time is a part of all of God's time, the entire picture. David knew that people would understand this visually if he talked about the city of Jerusalem. And in this picture, what you see is, and when you're in that part of the world, you will see that the city of Jerusalem sits kind of in a valley. It's on a little bit of a hill, but it's in a valley. And all around that city, it's surrounded by mountains. So David was saying, take a look when you're standing there, and you're standing there on a mountain, and you're looking down at the city of Jerusalem, and notice that that city is absolutely surrounded by mountains, to remind you that even though we are small, even though our story is short, we are surrounded by the love of a bigger and larger story, someone who has a bigger picture. Psalm 90 is intended to have two poles. And it's first of all to remind us of the shortness and the brevity of life. And so to really make us think about what we do with that shortness and that brevity of life. But it also, the other pole is the hope that we have of the miracle of the eternity of life, that God holds the entire picture in his hands. So there is a real sense of hope in the midst of that. So how do you make it count? I mean, that's what we wonder about now. If we can understand what God intends with time, how do we make it count? And that's what we'll look at through the rest of the series, is how do we make it count? How do we set the right kinds of priorities? How do we use the time that we've got? And that's what we'll look at throughout the series. I like it how Rick Warren says, life's value is not in its duration, but in its donation. So what is our life? What are we donating our life for? What is it about? I'd like to, for fun, send you home with some homework today. So if you'll pull out your bulletin, you can see I requested that there be a section that says notes. Oh, she's going to put that up already. Thank you. Notes. And you know, as I was thinking about this series for a long time, you know, and just kind of thinking about music, secular music, I thought, you know, it's really kind of amazing how many pieces of music focus on the time of our life, the time that we have, how we use it. So here's what I'm inviting you to do. In your notes section, write these songs down. And they're, like I said, they're secular. Anybody know, see, they're 70s and 80s kind of. Anybody know these songs at all? Hey, there's some good hand. Yeah. I mean, so aren't these songs are kind of almost timeless, I think. And so record these songs. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do for your homework. If you want to listen to them again, and if you're not aware, you can go onto a YouTube, type YouTube in your computer, in your search, type the name of the song, and then you can listen to the song again. And just think about it from the perspective of time of your life. What is the message of this song as it pertains to the time of your life? And what does it say? And I'm going to invite you to take time to email me this week or post something on Facebook about, you know, what we're doing at church and how we're looking at time. And just hope that will inspire you during this week to continue to think about this message. Also, after you write down those song titles, I want you to write down a scripture. And the scripture is Psalm 90, verse 12. Right in the middle of the psalm are these words. So teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. So teach us to count our days so that we may gain a wise heart. I think what God desires for us is that at the end of the time when we spend our time, that we reflect back and we feel good about the ways that we have spent our 86,400 seconds every day of our life. Jesus knew the importance of time. Jesus spent time with his disciples, and he spent time with the people who were around him at that period of history and in his life. Jesus knew it was important to listen and to teach and to share and to heal as he spent time with those disciples and those people who gathered with